Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever, for He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things beneath the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I feel better about the whole thing. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. You notice I'm standing on the right side of the pulpit. I'm so far right, I go around the block to keep from making a left turn. I remember, and I well remember, though I was only a lad of 22 years of age, when my brother gathered a few, as Pastor Weaver has already referred to, a few people in a little storefront building on Wichita Street, and organized the Worth Baptist Church. And I'm so glad that after all of these years, 61 years in business for God, the greatest business in all the world, Walmart cannot touch it. Best Buy has no place here. We're on top. We're in God's business. And Jesus paid it all that we could be here today. In talking with Bob this week on the telephone, he asked me to send his regards and best wishes. He's 87 years old now. He's done a marvelous work. He's been in a daily broadcast for 53 years. After Daddy was in that broadcast for 30 years. So 83 years, the nation's longest running daily gospel broadcast. And he's still carrying it on every day now for 53 years. Isn't God good? What a mighty God we serve, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. It's always been my contention that God's people ought to have just as good a time going to heaven as the devil's crowd thinks they have him going to hell. Let's stay on top of it, ladies and gentlemen, and give God the glory. Well, I've used enough runway. You know about that story. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. As you're finding your place in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled right here on earth. I'm going to read a part of one verse, 1 Samuel chapter 2, the first part of verse 25. I'll read it after we pray, and I trust you will join with me as we pray together. Our Father, we are grateful for Worth Baptist Church. We're grateful for that day in March, 61 years ago, when Bob gathered that little group around, charged them and challenged them to organize a church, and moving to another place in a dilapidated building on Wilbarger Street, and then built a nice sanctuary, and we built a Sunday school building, and now this great edifice here. Thank you for it. Thank you for the years you privileged me to lead this people. Thank you for the years you've given our Pastor Weaver for leading this people. I pray that you would bless now in this hour to your honor, to your glory, and to the salvation of lost souls is our prayer in Jesus' name. For his sake, with thanksgiving, amen. I want you to listen to every word. I'm taking this out of its context, not literally out of its meaning, but from its context, for sake of time, I read verse 25, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Now the story here is that Eli's sons, two sons of the priest, sinned greatly before God. And the last part of that verse that I read you said, God killed them. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, can you imagine what it would be like to stand in an earthly courtroom before a judge without an attorney to plead your case? Can you imagine how frightening that would be? Can you imagine how much more frightening it would be to stand in the chambers of the courtroom of heaven before the God of the universe with no attorney, no mediator, no intercessor, no advocate? Can you imagine standing there before God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and nobody to stand up for you? Standing at the bar of justice on the great judgment morning without anyone to plead your cause, to take your case. Someone wrote, "I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the great white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper, he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness when death came was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. The gambler was there, and the drunkard, and the man that sold them the drink, with the people who gave him the license, together in hell they did sink. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off his salvation, not tonight. I'll be saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last he found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late." Would you listen again to the sobering, sombering words that I read you a moment ago? Verse 25, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man, listen, if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him?" You see, ladies and gentlemen, our God is a God of purity. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of perfection. He's a God of truth. Sin, ladies and gentlemen, is an affront to a holy God. Sin insults God. Sin offends God. Sin repulses God. Look with me in your mind this morning to Calvary. See the Son of God hanging on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth. Look at his broken, battered, bruised, bleeding body. And the darkness, the Bible says, covered the earth for 3 hours, from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In the middle of the day, darkness came. And the Bible says that the earth did quake. And the Bible says that God turned his back on his own Son. You know why he did, don't you? God turned his back on his Son, that he could turn his face toward you and me with love and mercy and grace and pardon and forgiveness. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, the question arises, who can entreat for a man who has sinned against God? Can the priest? No. Can the preacher? No. Can the Pope? No. Can a parent? No. Can some potentate? No. Can a patriarch? No. Stay tuned for the good news, ladies and gentlemen. I've entitled this message. By the way, that was just my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. And I'll tell you when I'm ready to stop preaching. This is anniversary day. I'm trying to cram 61 years into 28.7 minutes. Whatever it was. My watch stopped at 9:15 this morning, and I still have 9:15, so I'm on the way. God's provision for sinful men. I would have you to observe with me in the first place that God's provision is found only in His Son. Listen, there is only one person who can entreat God for your sins and mine. His name is Jesus. His name is above every name. I just gave it to you. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess. Every God-hater, every Christ-rejecter who has ever lived will one day confess that He's Lord to the honor and glory of God Himself. Powerful name, precious name, perfect name. Pure name, pontifical name, all-prevailing name, all-saving name. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is the only name. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the one and only mediator between holy God and sinful man. That's what the Bible says. Paul wrote it in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6. There is one God. Are you listening? And one mediator between God and men, the man Mohammed. No, 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 no. The man Alexander. No, no, no. The man Zoroaster. No, no, no. The man Jesus. Gave Himself a ransom for many to be testified in due time. I'm glad due time has come. And here we are in His due time. His way is the only way. Listen, folks. I didn't write any of this that I'm giving you from the Bible. I'm just reading it or quoting it to you. Let me give you Jesus' word on it. Do you believe what Jesus said? How many of you believe what Jesus said? I got you right where I want you. He said in John, here I go quoting Jesus. Oh, He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. I never hesitate to quote Him. I know when I quote Him, I don't have to worry about being misquoted. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. That rules out every other person who would set himself or herself up as a mediator between God and man. Rules all of them out. You see, salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is in a person, in only a person, in only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow could take a blank sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $10,000. That's genius. John D. Rockefeller could take a piece of paper, write his name on it, and make it worth multiplied millions. That's capital. A manufacturer can take raw materials, put them together, produce a product for profit. That's skill. An artist can take a 50-cent canvas, paint a picture on it and make it worth $1 million. That's art. Stay tuned, my friend. God can take a poor, lost, hell-bound, helpless, hell-deserving sinner wash him in the blood of Jesus, and make him a child of heaven. That's salvation. I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. Jesus paid it all. Number two. Just had 33 of these, so sit back. No, just a couple of more. God's provision is adequate for all the sins of all men. Question. Did you know that every man who has ever been born in Adam's race is a sinner? Ecclesiastes 7:20, the wise men said, there is not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. And we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, by the way, did you know that all men can be saved? That's what the Bible says. Let me give it to you in 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Watch this now. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, all men are invited to come to the Savior. I give you his word on it. Here I go, quoting Jesus again. Amen. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God provided all that every man could ever need. Listen, God provides mercy, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. God provides grace. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He provides justification. You know what that word justification means? It means just as if I had never been a sinner. Wow. Acts 13:39, by him all who believe are justified from some of that. No, that's not what it says. From all things. God provides peace. I read it in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it all comes from God. It comes from God through Christ to you and me. Our advocate entreats for us. Number three, God's provision must not be rejected. Please don't miss this. To reject God's provision for salvation is to reject God. To reject God's provision is to reject the only one who can entreat for you. To reject God's provision is to reject the only sacrifice and only substitute for sin. There are sins against man. We read it a while ago. And there are sins against God. And Eli's son committed both types of sin, and God killed them. Verse 25, I read it a moment ago. Listen again. If one man sinned against another, the judge. They had a judge in Israel. We have judges. If one man sinned against another man, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Because these boys rejected the only sacrifice that God provided, there was for them no pardon. Are you listening? Because they rejected God's sacrifice for sin, there was no pardon, there was no purging, there was no provision, there was no salvation, there was no cleansing, there was no forgiveness. Because they rejected the only sacrifice that God ever made for sin. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a solemn warning. Please don't miss this. If you, hear me now, it doesn't matter what your age, what your education, what your culture, what your background, what your occupation, what your heritage, where you're going, where you've been, what you've done, or what you're going to do. If you reject God's only substitute and sacrifice for sin, there is no hope for you. I'll say this as tenderly, as kindly, as tearfully, as compassionately as I can. If you reject God's sacrifice for sin through Jesus Christ our Lord, you are destined to spend eternity in hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. There is no escape. Paul asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape. And Hebrews 10:31 says, now you surely don't want to miss this. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. He's alive. He's the judge. He's going to judge you and me. John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, hear me when I say it. Christ and Christ alone can bring you to God and bring God to you. Today, Paul says in Hebrews 3:7, quoting the psalmist, today, if you will hear his voice, would you be willing to just tune out all other voices now? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. I plead with you. I implore you. I advise you. I counsel you. I beg you. Come to Jesus and let him entreat for you today. I say today with emphasis, today, because tomorrow may be too. That's what the Bible says. The wisest man who wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs and made $20 million a year in tariffs off of his investments, he said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Oh, you say, but I'm young, I'm tough, I'm healthy, I just got back from the doctor. You know what? I buried a lot of men that just got back from the doctor. The doctor said, you have sound health, you got a heart like an 18-year-old. 3 days later, we laid them low. What am I saying? You never know, my friend. You can be as healthy as the healthiest person on the globe and die tonight. And my question is, if you die tonight, do you know that you're going to heaven? Let Jesus entreat for you. Amen. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved, how many times have you heard this, my friend? Often reproved. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Last weekend, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, my wife and I were in Gulfport, Mississippi. There was no snow. There was some rain. We drove back on Wednesday from Gulfport, Mississippi, after I preached 4 times, and my wife preached once. I thought they were going to ordain a pastor, but they passed it up. We were driving back into East Texas. We stopped at a nice restaurant. We had a nice dinner. We enjoyed it immensely. We sat there waiting for the waitress to come and bring us our check. In a few moments, she came around and smiled and said, I don't have a check for you. You don't have a check for me? No. She said, a man picked up your tab and paid your bill. I said, lady, we're strangers here. We don't know anybody. She said, the man that sat next to you paid your bill, a complete stranger. I know a story that's so much better than that. One day, the stranger of Galilee came by, and he picked up my tab, and he paid my debt for sin, and he didn't leave part of it for me to pay, not even the tip. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Heads are bowed. The altar is open. The invitation has already begun. You don't have to wait till we pray or sing or say anything else or do anything else. What more can we do? What more can he say than to you he hath said? If you're here today without Christ, listen to me now. Don't let anybody or anything distract you. Please, listen carefully. I plead with you, if you're here today having never trusted Christ as your Savior, step out of your seat. Admit that you're a sinner. Confess your sin. There's some folks right here around the altar that are waiting to show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Would you do that today if you're lost? If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior? And I hope nobody's looking around to see who's going to do what. Let's just let God see who's going to do what for a change, would you? Just let God do it. You and I can't do it. You're here today and you've been saved and you know it, and you wouldn't thank an angel to come and stand on this platform and tell you you're saved, or sit on your shoulder and tell you you're saved. But you know that your life is not really counting for Christ as it should. You know that there's some things you need to dedicate and lay on the altar today. Maybe you have a prayer burden. Maybe there's a need in your family, in your home, your children, your grandchildren, your parents. Maybe there's something that's weighing you down today. You can have the burdens lifted at Calvary. Right here, listen, you've been wanting to get God's attention? Hear me. The best place on earth to get God's attention is at an altar of prayer. I bid you come. Bring that burden today. Bring that heartache today. Bring that prayer request today. Bring your heart, your life, your soul to Christ. Father, we thank thee for what you've done in our hearts. And I know it's past 12, and I understand all of that, but who cares when the souls of men are at stake, far more important than the stomach are the souls. Help us to wait on you, to give people an opportunity to make some decisions that they need to make and offer some prayers they need to offer and bring some burdens they need to bring. Help them to do it now in Jesus' name. While we sing, while